Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro. Show. They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation. Black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Nightly Broadcast. Coming to you live here in the belly of the beast in the mirror KKK. Brothers and sisters, tonight, as usual, will be very informative as well as thought-provoking. And a shout-out to everyone that's listening all across the planet, from Mother Africa, Central America, South America, wherever you may be. We have a lot that we're talking about that we've been dealing with. But tonight, we are going to we normally have Brother Eugene on. He is having some work done, taking care of some business, and he wanted me to let you guys know he'll be back next week. But what I'm going to do in the spirit of Pan-African news, we will play it from Pan-African TV, which is a YouTube broadcast that comes on that broadcast out of Ghana that covers many of the sections of the motherland of Africa, many of the countries, and they have some very dynamic discussions. Earlier this week, we played a clip from the Good Morning Africa program. Tonight, we're going to play a clip from Pan-African TV entitled Pan-African News, as well as Hot News. So this is going to give us updates in regards to what's going on across the land in Africa. So tune in. Black Power.
Trasaco Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Trasaco Springs, a premium master planned community of service plots surrounded by an exhaustive list of amenities. The gated community of Tema to Accra Motorway presents you the finest opportunity to own a land that suits your preferred size, budget, and payment terms.
Good evening and welcome to your most authoritative evening political show. We are coming to you from our studios in Abelenkwe 48 Swanika Street here in Accra. We're live on Facebook at Pan African Television. We're also live on YouTube at Pan African Television, as well as 48 African countries. You can join in the conversation by sending in your views, comments and contributions on our WhatsApp / text line. We'll make a time and read all those out for you. You can as well leave your suggestions, questions and whatnot on our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram and on Twitter at Pan African Television. Those of you watching us on Facebook can share the Facebook Live for other people to also watch tonight's edition of the program. My name is Justice Apia, and tonight on Hot News, we are having a one-on-one discussion with the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry in person of Honorable Michael Ochibefi. He doubles as a Member of Parliament for New Jobe South constituency. We'll be looking at what the ministry has been up to, their policies, its implementations. Then we delve into the controversy, the brouhaha, over the electronic transactions levy. Once he's a Member of Parliament and he is on the side of the ruling government, we'll find out from him the significance of the e-levy, if whether or not they will listen to, I mean, the complaints, the problems, I mean, reasons that Ghanaians are given for not accepting the e-levy. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a while.
My pleasure. I mean, we're around. We're doing politics and also serving the interests of Ghana, and that's what we have been doing.
Well, I've seen you a couple of platforms anyway. I mean, you are doing so well.
I must confess.
But first and foremost, let's look at the trade ministry. Mm. What are you up to?
Right. Thanks for the opportunity, and I'm so glad that you are also from Kofodia. So,
right.
I mean, it's always good to meet you and to share thoughts
about very well.
Kofodi and Ghana
right.
in general.
Mm.
I guess this evening we'll have a real opportunity again to let Ghanaians know that Kofodi is the place to be.
That if is you're very true.
There. Right, and then
right.
I just want to extend my appreciation to you and your production team for inviting me.
Right.
Now, the ministry is doing well. I mean, you know that this ministry is the face of Ghana. It's the ministry that is in charge of all trade issues and industry issues in Ghana.
Very well.
Specifically, I'm assigned as the Deputy Minister in charge of industry.
Mm.
That's what I've been doing for some time now, since I was appointed by His Excellency the President. And then, working with a legend like Honorable Alan Kunye Chimantin, you are bound to learn more, except you don't want to learn.
That's
I mean,
true.
Mm. Clearly, he has exhibited and showed that he's there for all of us. I mean, he has given us the needed support, and he has also given us work to do. That is enough. I mean, clear to see that this man has done well. I mean, working with him, and he has also given us the opportunity to learn under him, which is good. And we are working hard. I mean, trying to establish a very strong industrial sector economy. You know, we are running a very good flagship policy. Our flagship policy of 1D1F is on course.
Right.
For now, we are 106 companies fully commissioned. I mean, we are, as a matter of fact, 278 companies at various stages of implementation. I mean,
in total, how many factories are you establishing under the 1D treatment factory?
For now, we have 278 1D1F companies at various stages of implementation.
But how many do you intend to construct?
I mean, that we want to do as many as we can. This year, target, we specifically, you know, because it's 1D1F. The assumption is that every district is supposed to have at least one factory.
Mm.
At least.
Yes.
Which means that some districts can even decide to have more or may have more.
That's true.
And that is the kind of work we are trying to do. For now, we have done our best. As I said, 106 companies have been commissioned and they are doing so well under the policy. We have also taken interest in our trade issues.
We'll come to the trade issue. Let's stay a bit on the issue of One District, One Factory. There have been a lot of issues surrounding One District, One Factory. Some of the arguments people have espoused has to do with the fact that you promised the good people of Ghana factories in every district. But what we are seeing is, you know, rebranding existing factories, and then putting them under the One District, One Factory initiative. People think that that is not what you promised.
Specifically, we promised the people of Ghana a specific program,
right,
or policy, and that policy is the 1D1F. We have two, it is two-tier, I mean, in nature. One is about a new business altogether, and one is an existing business that has decided to expand, or a new business in crisis that need to be resuscitated. These companies can still be under the 1D1F. Note that the policy specifically didn't say that 1D1F companies should only be companies that have freshly been incorporated. I mean, they can be existing. These companies can be existing companies that are in business.
Did you really explain this policy
from the beginning?
Because it looks as if people are of the view that this is on the contract, the social contract you signed.
So the problem we have with Ghana is the lies from the opposition NDC.
Okay.
They can decide to do something which is not the truth into the system. Note that the policy emanated from the government of MPP.
Right.
We know that what we brought out, or we know what we said to Ghanaians. The policy is clear. I mean, the 1D1F policy is not supposed to be companies that are going to be incorporated for the first time, from the scratch. But companies that are in existence, that are in crisis, can also be part of the 1D1F. Those companies can be revamped. One. And also, companies that are there, we may have companies in existence, and those companies would like to expand, would like to create new avenues in business. These companies can also come under the 1D1F program. No, as I said earlier, we'll note that the policy is an MPP policy.
Right.
So MPP will be able to explain it well, and that's exactly what we are doing this evening.
Let's look at the categories you've mentioned. Companies that are struggling to grow, and then companies that are in existence but would want to expand, and then companies from scratch.
That's right.
How many of these existing companies have you expanded, or have you helped?
Look, we have helped a lot. Note that it's an ongoing policy.
Right. So far, those that you've been able to do.
We have done a lot of them. I mean, we have done a lot of them. Mm. There are a lot of companies in that category that were hitherto, they didn't even have hope that they were going to, I mean, leave again.
Right. Mm.
But these companies have been helped. You know, examples are there, I mean, for you to
know. We know Kano and all those other companies.
Some of them were expanded. Mm. I mean,
expanded,
But companies like Daco Farms, they are down.
Very
There are a lot of companies there like that. But the point I want to make clear is that those lies about companies
that they are just rebranding companies.
Those are not facts. And everybody who care to know can check the manifesto of the party. Specifically, it was written in the manifesto that this is what we want to do. It's a program that we brought, and we know what program we're bringing.
Well, Murphy, you see, I mean, when you're standing on the campaign platform, what you say differs from what is really written in the manifesto. I asked this question earlier. Did you really explain what was in the manifesto? Because on campaign platforms, we heard that we are going to build factories in every district of this country. Did you tell Ghanaians that you, as part of a policy, you'll be rebranding some of the companies, and not all the companies you're talking about that are going to be started?
I stand to be corrected. I mean, for the point I'm about raising, you know, it is not likely you may be able to say everything about policy on a campaign platform.
That's true.
That's why we say that we have engagement. We have what we call stakeholder engagement. We have we have group engagement to be able to tell them the details of whatever is written down in the manifesto. Because the manifesto is the plans and programs of the political party. So that is the kind of manifesto we brought. You see, what we are failing to understand is the fact that this has been the original nature of the program. But a group of people who are desperate for power decided to twist the whole arrangement and said, you know, sometimes it will even interest you to note that they find it difficult accepting companies within a certain jurisdiction that there's already an existing company, 1D1F company.
Yeah.
Note that we said that we're going to do one district at least in each in each district. One, at least one company or one factory. We didn't say we're going to do only one factory.
Yes.
So it may happen that we may have about five companies or five different factories operating in one particular district. That is also part of the whole arrangement.
Now let's look at the statistics. You mentioned some numbers from the beginning.
Yeah.
I said that
106 companies are currently in operation.
Okay.
As I said, 148 are under construction. 24 at the mobilization stage.
Okay.
That's the stage of mobilization.
Right.
Now note that 165 out of the 275 companies are brand new companies.
Okay, so 165
out of the 278 companies at various stages of implementation are brand new companies.
Out of the brand new companies, how many have you been able to complete and
106.
Yes, and where are these 106 located?
There. I mean,
it looks as if
and 113 companies are existing projects being supported also under the HOPE arrangement, under the 1D1F arrangement.
Because I just want us to clear, you know, that controversy over that part of 1D1F, where people are of the view that, oh, government promised to build factories from scratch, and now they are just, you know, rebranding other factories, placing them under the initiative by saying that they have built factories, and that is the more reason why my focus is
that once
you are here, you need to clear
that's exactly what I'm doing now.
Right. Okay. Now, under the 1D1F, there was an allegation of missing 207 million under the initiative. Clear that. How true is that?
Clearly, that was somebody's own thoughts.
Okay.
We organized a press conference immediately. The NDC threw this to the system.
Right.
It was done by the ranking member of the NDC. He went to town to just something which is not true.
You are talking about Honorable Kofi Amagua,
which is not true.
Okay.
What he said was not true.
Mm.
It was not the case. I explained to the people that he was looking for certain documents.
Okay.
And to substantiate the amount that has been spent.
Mm.
And at that particular time, he himself confirmed to me in the morning that he has not received the documents. So how come he went out to say those things?
Mm.
I mean, he was not being truthful to Ghanaians. What we need to know is that we are doing politics. We have to be very truthful.
Mm.
What is important is that politics is not about, it should not be about lies. It should not be about desperation, because you are desperate for power, because you think that, let me say this, to tickle the emotions of Ghanaians so that they'll be able to shift their attention to, that's not the way to go. We can't build our democracy in that order. I believe that is not the right way to go. You can't just come out with numbers that are not true, to punish somebody's image, because you feel that when you do that, people will now switch to support you for you to gain points.
After admitting that he saw the appropriate document supporting what he said, which was contrary to the figure he put out, that did he apologize? Why didn't you press on him to make sure that he comes out to apologize?
He did that after confirming that to me.
Okay.
So it means that he did that intentionally.
Right.
The point I'm making to you is that There's something like that.
Okay. It never happened.
No, we have a secretariat. We have a 1D1F secretariat.
Mm.
Everything you want to know under 1D1F is... Because note that this is a government flagship policy and government interest is in that agreement. We cannot sit down for anybody to embezzle funds. It is not even possible. Do you know why?
Right.
Because we are dealing with what we call PFIs, participating financial institutions, who serve as fundraisers for these investors who want to. So they give them money. I'm not fundraiser. They will serve as financiers. I mean, to these investors who want to undertake or be part of the 1D1F. If you only submit your business proposal, a business plan, and all the other documents to us, after you have also submitted your letter of intent to the minister that you want to be part of the 1D1F, after we peruse and scrutinize and we think that the business is viable, I'm talking about the business plan is viable, we will now appoint a consultant to go down into the business, look through. And when the consultants will come to us with very good news that this is a very, very, very viable business which we can help, then we will now link you up to one of the participating financial institutions that we have signed MOU with. I mean, so that they cannot take over. We are done as a ministry. That
right.
is our only responsibility.
Well, one thing I can say for a fact is that wasn't done indiscriminately, strictly, because you wouldn't have some of these companies complaining that, oh, well, we have submitted and we met the requirement, yet we've not been supported and all. But I think that was done well. But let's look at the number of jobs you have created under this policy.
We are talking about almost about 151,000
jobs. 151,000
jobs. 151 jobs, both direct and indirect jobs, within that period.
If you say 151,000, let's interrogate further. How did you arrive at that number?
I mean, one left note that there are two types of employment that one can be generated. We're looking at direct employment or direct employment generation and indirect employment. Indirect employment generation are bound to be more because of these outward skills. Most of these businesses are into agro-processing and they operate through cooperatives and outward skills across the country. And these are all still in the value chain. You understand? All those people who are able to get, source of living through this arrangement are captured as part of those employment that have been created for those people. And that's exactly what we do as a ministry.
For purposes of not leaving doubts in the minds of the good people of Ghana who are watching us, can you give us names of some of the factories you've started from scratch?
Oh. A lot of them.
Okay.
We started a lot. We started CH Food. We started Wendy Tomatoes.
Okay.
We started a lot of them. I mean, there's some that I, a lot of them. I mean, there are a lot of companies from the scratch.
Right. Take us through some of your other flagship policies at the ministry.
Now, the ministry takes care of anything related to trade and industry issues, and our flagship policy is the 1D1F. But 1D1F, the other thing that we do, I mean, we will do domestic trade, we do trade facilitation, we also engage ourselves in export trade, and we looked at the multinational arrangements. I'm talking about multinational arrangements and contracts. That there are a lot of arrangements that have been signed with governments.
Right.
With AGWA, for example, African Growth and Opportunity Act is an arrangement between the government of Ghana, or Africa, some countries in Africa,
right,
and the United States of America. There's also the EP, European Partnership Agreement. There's also the UK Ghana Trade Partnership Agreement. These are all all policies and programs that are run by the ministry. So the ministry is a very big ministry, and we have a lot of things to do. We are also undertaking our 10-point industrial transformation agenda, which also comprises of the 1D1F. We are also looking at our strategic anchor industry sector, which we were doing so well. We also looked at special economic zones and industrial parks. These are all issues that are undertaken at the trade ministry, and we do that with we have BRI, we have sectors that also take care of people who want to do investment in this country. These are all parts of the trade ministry's portfolio.
One of the policies that I'm very much interested in is the Ghana Automotive Development Policy. Mm. What is that about?
The Ghana Automotive Development Policy is a new, we're under the strategic anchor industry sector.
Mm.
One of the things we look at is the automobile industry.
Right.
Ghana wants to now develop the automobile industry, and that's where we have started under the leadership of Honorable Alan Kwejo Chemantin.
Right.
Now we are on course. We have started the SKD, what we call the semi knockdown, the basic one. That's what we have started doing. The semi knockdown assembling is done in Ghana. We started that in Ghana. Now companies like Volkswagen, Toyota, they are all doing Peugeot, for example. They are all doing the basic semi knockdown, and Kantanka is doing the enhanced semi knockdown, which is also part of the car assembly. So because of this arrangement, we decided to set up this program, the automotive development program. That is one of the key ingredients that we believe can change the whole industrial sector of the country. And that is what we are focusing on.
I'm glad you have mentioned Kantanka. And there's one, people are view that with the likes of VW and other automobile companies in this country, that wouldn't give enough oxygen to, the indigenous automobile company, that's Kantanka, to try. That's number one. People are also a view that governments have not paid enough attention to Kantanka and automobile. Can you confirm that?
No, we have paid so much. Since I came to the ministry, I can tell you, in all confidence, that the ministry has really engaged Kantanka.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, everything we do with them. They are a major stakeholder as far as our arrangements are concerned. And there's no doubt about this arrangement. Nobody can even dispute the fact that we don't even consult them or we don't facilitate the arrangement with them. Note that they have elevated themselves from now the basic level to doing enhanced semi-knockdown, which means that little by little they are going. The time will come, they will get to the complete knockdown stage,
right,
where now they will start doing everything from scratch.
Mm.
So we are encouraging a lot of local investors to also venture into.
Are we not giving too much competition to Kantanka by inviting some of these already known, already established automobile companies here in Ghana to assemble some?
It is even good. To be able to get international recognition, they need to start competing with companies like this, so that they'll be able to gather that clout. They'll get it in their DNA, so that in the future they'll be able to bid for bigger businesses and also compete with bigger businesses in the sector. Note that Ghana believe that this is the way to go. We are now even moving, also getting into the component manufacturing stage, where we encourage a lot of people to start looking at company manufacturing, like setting up other components for car manufacturing, maybe looking at car wiring, looking at car seats, looking at tires, looking at any other thing that will help a car to be complete.
Right.
So we want to also venture into that area. So that's also another key business. Looking at the spare parts business, that's another key business that Ghana is about venturing.
Right. Also, let's wrap up with this on what the ministry is doing so far in terms of its work and all of that. Commitment to the growth of micro, small, and medium enterprises. You have a policy for that.
Yes. But you see, what we are doing, something that is unprecedented in the history of this country.
Mm.
By doing well, for the small, medium enterprises.
Right.
That block, they are doing well now. You can see what GEA is doing. I'm talking about Ghana Enterprise Agency. Ghana Enterprise Agency used to be NBSSI. Now they've taken so much interest in that area. You see what we did with the cap base when government decided to give out small loans. Some grants to SMEs to be able to start up, to be able to push into their business, to be able to compete well or do business well in the country. Mm. These are things we are doing for the small and medium enterprises in this country. The Trade Ministry's focus is able to get an SME sector that is well prepared to be able to move to the next level.
Mm.
And that's why we are helping them through grants and small loans so that it will help them to be able to do business and even compete and now move from just staying their corner, but also trying to do other business by exporting more and also keeping more here for Ghana to also eat.
Who qualifies for some of these supports, you know, that government offers to some of these small-scale enterprises?
Any company in that category, in the small, medium enterprise category, but especially we look more into those in food and apparel businesses. Mm. So here, food and clothing businesses.
Why the preference for those food and...
I'm talking about everybody can...
In general, okay.
But our interest as a ministry, we're looking more into those in the food.
But that interest must be explained. Why that interest?
Not that you understand. You should be able to understand
right.
It. Very simple. Because without that, Ghana will be in serious trouble. And you know that this COVID created a lot of problems for
right.
Ghana. And so there was a need for us to now bring up businesses, especially in the area of food, so that it will be food sufficient. At least people will be sure that you'll be able to go to bed after you have taken in something. That is good for us as a country. So I believe that we didn't get it wrong at all. We were able to meet people at the point of their needs. Most small and medium enterprises were even at the verge of collapse, but we were able to resuscitate them and bring them back to life. That is what we're talking about here.
Now, when we're talking about small-scale businesses and medium-scale businesses, and it means that we need to place emphasis on those. And my next question is, what the selection process is, because a lot of people are watching us. They need support and all those things. This is
We don't have specific things that you need to do. We don't have any serious arrangement that you need to undertake before you can be accepted in this category, or you can be given support. Any business that is incorporated in Ghana, if you have a business and the business is incorporated, then you can also qualify to be part of this arrangement. Note that we are looking at business, most businesses should be incorporated so that we're able to trace those businesses. Government interest is not only always to give you money, but government not to give you money, keep you in business, so that later on when you become strong, you also be able to pay taxes to support government, so that government will be able to develop the country.
Right, we are in a conversation with a Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, who doubles as a Member of Parliament for New Durban South constituency. That's where I come from. Anyway, that's my Member of Parliament as well. Keep your messages coming in on our WhatsApp / text line. I'll make a time and read all those out for you. You can as well leave your messages, questions, and whatnot on our social media pages. I'll also read all those out for you. Now let's come to Parliament on the issue of e-levy. You are in full support of the introduction of the e-levy, true or false?
True.
Do you think that your constituents are happy?
They are very
supporting this.
They are very happy because they believe that no country can develop without taxes.
I see.
One of the things that Ghanaians are, or maybe NDC people who are into propaganda and trying and lies, believe they are doing. These are things that they are doing to create unnecessary tension in the system.
I see.
They have not taken note of the fact that a country needs taxes to develop. Without taxes, without country generating more internal revenue, it will be very difficult for the country to do, because you see, we cannot decide to always be chasing money from people who have also decided to raise money themselves to develop the country. We cannot always be going after them or going to them to look for funds, when we also have similar opportunity to develop our tax system to also contribute our quota to national development. There's no way any government can develop a country without taxes. It's not possible. We need to pay taxes. And that is one of the things that every country that is advanced now has done over the years. And Ghana has less than 10. Note that in a big population like Ghana, only few people pay taxes. It will even interest you to note that about 98% of the informal sector, or 99% of the informal sector,
right,
the people don't pay taxes in that category. So it's an opportunity for government to bring a lot of people into a tax net, so to pay taxes. And so it is good for us as a country.
The argument is that government could have been innovative, you know, with that, rather than imposing taxes on the impoverished Ghanaian. You know that people are already complaining.
That's the way we have done now. This is clear innovation.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, you see, one of the things that NDC was afraid to say, or the fact that they didn't get that, mindset to be able to implement a policy like this. We think that we've been able to come out with a very good policy to bring a lot of the informal sector into a tax net. People in everyone's into a tax net. I was saying, tell you something, you know, we need to develop a country, and therefore we need to raise funds. We cannot develop a country without raising funds ourselves internally. Without that, how can we develop a country?
All right,
it is not possible. Our people are not impoverished. See, Ghanaians have the capacity to work hard, and they are hard-working people. They work hard to be able to generate money. One of the things that we did as a government was that we were able to exempt all those people that we think are very poor in that category.
What's your definition of a poor person in this country?
How many people in this country do mobile money more than 50 cities a day? Yesterday I was in Kofodi and we tested that. How many people? Only few people. And all those people who pay anything 100 cities and below will be exempted from the payment of this tax. So it clearly presupposes that those who will be added or will be admitted into the payment of this tax are those people who have the capacity to make more money, and also so we assume that they'll be able to pay the tax.
Now, if you look at the e-levy, they're having a lot of arguments. People have the view that the e-levy is simply double taxation. Now, you're a public sector worker. You've received your salary. You've been deducted at source. You have decided to put the rest of your money on your mobile money wallet. You distribute it. You send, say, 500 to a brother, 500 to a sister. You're going to be deducted once again on those monies. Is that not true?
You can decide to do that in pieces. That's so possible. This is not an imposition. It's a tax. It is a free will tax. You will only pay that tax if you want to. That's simple. Decide not to pay the tax, nobody can come and force you. This is an indirect tax. It's not like income tax that you are obliged to pay. In this case, you can decide to pay the tax or not. So if you're supposed to send 500 to people, you can decide to say do that in pieces of between a period of 5 days. That's very simple. You can do each day, you can do 100 cities so that you'll be exempted from the payment of this tax.
Are you not overburdening the ordinary Ghanaian because the telcos already have their 1% service charge? And you are adding 1.75%.
Not all the telcos take. You know that.
Everyone preferred to use Vodafone.
So you can't make a generic statement like that. The statement you made presumed that all the telcos were charging a certain percentage of tax.
That's true.
Which is not correct. So my point is that you can only pay tax if you want to. In this category, in this case, it's simple. Nobody will force you to go and pay taxes or this particular tax. But if you want to pay the tax, then you have to fulfill a certain thing that will cost you to pay the tax. In other words, you can only be allowed to pay the tax when you go beyond the ceiling that has been given. So people who transact business, with only 100 cities or less a day, will not be forced to pay the tax.
Honorable, so the New Patriotic Party, ahead of the 2016 election, told Ghanaians that you will change the economy from taxation to production should you be given the mandate. Lo and behold, you have been given the mandate. Is that what you are doing?
That's exactly what we are doing.
That you are now introducing taxes.
No.
Levies.
No, please. We came, when did we come? to power. We came 2016, 2017. We started office 2017. When we came, we abolished a lot of taxes.
That's true.
Note that there has been a lot of policies, poor policies that have been implemented by this government that we're not supposed to do. But we did that to save a lot of poor people from also going through pain. And that's what we did. Now we believe that it's time to pay taxes. Government decided not to do it in that way that NDC would have done it. The NDC way is the false way. We didn't do that. We only brought the tax in the form of indirect tax. And that indirect tax can only be paid by people who want to pay the tax. Nobody will force you to pay the tax. So my point is that we want development. We want to see development in this country. We want to see our roads constructed. We want to see social infrastructure constructed. We want to see development. We want to see security being excellent in the country. We cannot get this without money.
So, honorable,
it is good or it is in our interest as a country,
right,
to look into inside our country.
Fine.
This is a homegrown policy,
right,
a policy that will not cause us to be going outside the country always to beg. And when you go to those countries to beg, they will not give you for free. They will give you in the form of loan, so you have to pay it later. But in this case, we are generating our own money, and
right,
it's not loan for our own development. Homegrown
policy
that will help you to generate a lot of money. That is not loan.
So the projection for the e-levy is 6.9 billion, right? Right. How then is it that all of a sudden 6.9 billion is able to solve the problems of this country?
We've heard
several people, including the Agric Minister, said that without the e-levy, farmers will not get fertilizers. Somebody also said that without the e-levy, then it means that we'd have to stop freezing the high school policy.
We are bringing a revolution to the system. Payment resolution, a revolution, where people will be paid for the work done for government. A lot of people have undertaken projects, and those people have not been paid. There are things that we need to do. I mean, as a country, that has not been done. Government need funds, and we are saying that we need that funds now to be able to run the government, and that is why we need the e-levy. We are not saying that without the e-levy, government will collapse. That's not what we are
talking
about.
What do you make of such statements made by very well-known people?
I don't subscribe to that particular point, but the point I'm making to you is that the e-levy will be good for
but the finance level. Minister, Ken Ofori-Atta, at the center stage of this whole thing, has said that without the e-levy, the economy is likely to crash. Did you hear him on that?
My point is that, we need the e-levy. We need the funds to be able to help push government agenda.
Okay.
Very important. Government is prepared to change the status quo. Now, what is happening, nobody likes it. It is just an act of God. Nobody brought this problem. The COVID problem was not generated by our government.
Okay.
It's something that we came to meet.
But the COVID also gave you a lot of money.
The
loans, the donations.
And those are loans.
All of that.
We have to pay them back. Those are loans. We have to service our debts. All the debts. That's why I'm telling you that there's no need for you to go for IMF bailout.
Okay.
It's absolutely wrong. Do you know why? Because they will not give you anything for free. But when we are able to generate our own resources or money through this arrangement, I'm talking about the yield levy tax that we are bringing, we'll be able to raise a lot of money that will help us develop the country so well, and also bring the country to a stage that you and I will be happy to live in.
Now, if you look at the Accountant General's report, it tells you categorically that we've lost about 12.3 billion through misappropriations.
We
are looking for 6.9 billion. Why not say
that
people
true.
To get the money?
That is not true. It is false. Do you know why it's false?
Well, why is it false?
The Attorney's Department will just, if you have money in your account and you're supposed to use it for this, and decide to change the usage of the money, they call that misappropriation of funds. Or sometimes, when you go into the report well, you see that there hasn't been any loss of money.
I see.
It is not true. I am telling you for a fact that there's something like that. A government have been very, very careful in what we use. I mean, what we do with the money, the little resources that we have. Government has been very careful. And government has always sought the interests of Ghanaians. That's what we've always been pushing the agenda of Ghana. That's what we do as a country. Government, that this president, our own president, your president, my president, Nana Adanko Akufo-Addo's interest as a president is to bring Ghana to a stage of radical, to a stage of plenty. That's what we are doing. To be able to move the economy to a stage that everybody will see Ghana as doing so well. That's why we have become a beacon in this sub-region.
I once listened to the Vice President, Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia, on the issue of taxing mobile money. And he said categorically on a sister station that he doesn't think that mobile money should be taxed or levied because a lot of people who are using mobile money are poor.
Mm.
Since when did that assertion change?
I mean, we are now running the government. We believe that, and that's why I said to you.
But he said it when you assumed office.
Yes, that's why I'm saying to you now that this levy is not a levy that's by force. Or it's not a by force tax.
But it has been placed on electronic transactions, including mobile money.
My point is that, so if you decide not to do the mobile money, will you pay the tax? You don't pay the tax.
But you are championing digitalization and digitalization agenda.
I'm just trying to say
that. You think that this will help?
I'm just saying
agenda.
That if you decide not to pay the tax, will you pay the... If you decide not to
you won't pay the levy, that's true.
So you won't pay the levy. That's what we are talking about.
Right.
In other words, what we are trying to say is that the levy is there for people who want to undertake the transaction. That's why it's an indirect tax. So it's a tax that you are not forced to pay, or a levy that you are not forced to pay. It's a levy. You are not forced to pay. We will levy you. But if you want to pay, then if you mean that you have to go beyond certain threshold that has been given by government. But if you decide to do within the threshold that is exempted, then you will not pay the tax.
Well, another argument that have been espoused by the good people of Ghana, and of course, I mean, those who are in opposition of this, is about the fact that this government has borrowed in excess of over 250 billion with nothing to show. Why then would you want Ghanaians to give you 6.9 billion?
That's
what they are saying.
No, that's what you are saying.
I've listened to arguments.
No, but
some of the minority members of your colleagues.
So if a country has implemented the policy of free senior high school for the past 3.5 years, students have been going to school for free. Is that nothing?
The free senior high school policy, we are made to believe that it was out of the oil funds.
No, I'm just saying that wasn't the NDC in power? Were they able to implement that policy? To also use whatever fund you're talking about? Were they able to use it? But let us be fair to the system. We are talking about a situation where a government has been able to bring something that was not there before. I mean, this is a pure, pro-poor, communist, socialist system program. But we are a center-right party, a capitalist-inclined party, but we decided to champion this cause. I mean, that's not supposed to be our program, but we decided to champion. Look at what we have done. Look at the support government has given to people. Look at the infrastructure. We are talking about the biggest flyover in the country, and even the other one put together. I'm talking about the Pukwasi flyover or interchange. The Pukwasi interchange and the Obeche-Vilanti interchange put together is still less than a small interchange like the Mahama's Dubai interchange.
Right, the one at Circle.
I mean, this is an act of thievery. I mean, clearly, I mean, creating problem for Ghana by intentionally stealing. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
The biggest interchange in Ghana is the Pukwasi interchange. And how much is that one? The other one that is being constructed, when you put the two together, the amount is still less than a small interchange that was controlled by Bahama. What are you talking about? Who can manage the resources of this country well? The truth of the matter is that Ghanaians are sometimes, I don't know, because NDC will come out of desperation to spit lies and to say things that are not right. People will just follow the bad word.
Very well. So let me then
go this way. Once again, this is an argument that is emanating from the quarters of the NDC, let me be specific, and some CSOs. They think that if you cut government expenditure, you are able to generate some revenue for this country. They think that the government size in itself is too huge.
Like
the
what?
Amount of money that are allocated to the presidency alone is even too much, and that you should cut the government size.
I don't have a problem.
You're able to save your money for this country.
I don't have a problem with
that. Would you argue that?
I don't have a problem at all with that, but I am also looking at the fact that let's compare what Muhammad did to our government.
Okay.
Compare Muhammad's program, what he did. I mean, compare the money that were allocated in his time to his office compared to what's happening now. And let's see whether this government is saving more money for Ghana or not. Very simple. I mean, see, I'm saying that don't let us follow blindly. People will just say things that are not true, and they will just... The whole government, we are running the government with how many ministers?
What is false?
We are running the government with how many ministers and how many deputy ministers? Check. How many ministers did Bahama have? Did he have then? How many ministers did he have? How many ministers did he appoint in his time? How many did he have? Tell me, you know about what I'm talking about.
I think it was about 80 something.
How many ministers, how many even aides did he appoint in his government? How many people were working in his office who were not official members of government but were being paid by government? I mean, these are things that are very factual that everybody can check. I'm talking about a government like that. I'm talking about a president like that who now want to be the president again.
Right.
Ghanaians, you have to be careful.
Okay. Still on the... You are still watching Hot News right here on Pan-African Television with me, Justice Apia. We are in a conversation with the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Honorable Michael Otubesi, who doubles as a Member of Parliament for New Durban South constituency. We are still on the e-levy, the significance of it, and why he thinks that the e-levy must actually go through. But I would ask you once again, these are arguments from your opponents, and they are saying that you have borrowed in excess of over 200 billion. Is that true or false?
See, what were we borrowing the money for? We're borrowing the money to help develop the country. And I'm saying that we have things to show.
Okay.
What
did you use that to? Because people think they believe that you borrowed for consumption rather than investment.
We are investing in people.
Okay.
When we create the opportunity for people who in their whole lifetime would know that it's not likely they'll be able to go to secondary school, let alone go to the university. And you have given somebody the opportunity to go to school, you think you have not
are
invested.
Are we funding the Free Senior High School policy from the borrowings you have made?
What I'm saying is that we are running the government.
Okay.
In running the government, you need money to run the government. When the need be that we have to borrow, we'll borrow.
Okay.
When the need be, we have to use monies we have accumulated, in the consolidated fund, we also use it. But my point is that what is important for Ghana is that we can only develop very well when we decide to look inward. We decide to look into our own country to see what we can do to help in the development we are talking about. Because if we'll be able to raise the funds, if we're able to, through a very good means, that will not affect us so much. If we'll be able to raise enough money to develop a country, it is better than going to IMF, going to the Bretton Woods institutions to look for money and they giving us conditions.
Is 6.9 billion enough to prevent us from going to these, institutions for loans?
We are sure that we may be able to even generate more.
Don't you think that this will rather discourage people from, going digital, using the online services?
It is even going to encourage digitalization. You wait and see what will happen in this country. Haven't we heard it before? That when a government is bringing talk tax, means that people stop talking on the phone. Now look at the numbers. I mean, check the numbers across the board. You see that people are talking more than that time when they said they were not going to talk again. So for us, we believe that this is the right way to go. We are looking at developing Ghana. We are not looking at meeting the aspiration of a political party that is desperately looking for power. Because that's what we are doing now. Their interest is to sabotage our effort and create problems for us. That's how come they are trying to please their own whims and caprices. I mean, looking at their modus operandi, everybody knows is confusion and creating problems. That's what they do. Well, no, everybody knows about that. But ours is different. We are a Crown Party, pure conservative party. We believe that we have been given the mandate by the people of Ghana, and that's exactly what we are doing, trying to meet what they bargain for.
Right. You think that the National Democratic Congress, the opponents are desperate coming to power, but we've heard from CSOs, civil society organizations, kicking against this. Would you say that
kicking against
the e-levy, the introduction of e-levy? Are you also saying that they don't also want government to progress?
I'm saying that nobody, no very independent person or whatever will go against the e-levy. Because there's something wrong with that. I mean, what are we doing as a country? What we have to do is to be able to help in the development of the country. And our responsibility as citizens of Ghana or this country is to pay taxes. And government has to bring out taxes for us to pay to develop the country. We are the ones that can develop our own country. That's a fact. You know, we cannot always rely on people to help us when we are not helping ourselves. When we travel outside the country, we are happy. When we travel to, when we go to places, we are happy. All those people are charging huge taxes, have imposed taxes on their people, and they are taking those monies to develop their country. When we go there, we feel so proud of them that these guys have done well. What is preventing Ghana, a model of Africa, a country that has so much resources, a country that God has blessed, what is preventing us from looking into our own country to look for money to develop our country?
Right. A member of your party, I mean, the man you kicked off his seat, Dr. Esibe Igbo, has advised government to look forward going to IMF. You have advised government to go to IMF. The question is, do you think that he is saying things from a different angle, a different perspective?
But you said he has advised government.
Yes.
I mean, government is not bound to take his advice. That's a very simple answer to the point you raised. Government is not bound. I mean, we are not under any obligation to accept his advice. We think that advice is not right. So we will not accept that.
I see. Now, let's look at other ways of generating revenue for this country. Yes, indeed, we have to capture a lot of people onto the tax net. But if you look at the operations of the Ghana Revenue Authority, in fact, 2021, I think they had even exceeded, even in COVID, they had even exceeded their target and all of that. Even with that, can't you look at other possible ways and means of capturing people onto the tax net rather than the introduction of e-levy?
How many people are in Ghana? There are 30 million people in Ghana.
Right.
30 million.
Mm.
Only 2.4 million people pay taxes to government. Out of the population of 30 million,
right,
only 2.4 million people pay taxes. Hey, that is so bad. A country, Ghana, we have huge institutions, entities. Now, we have only 45,109 entities, businesses, that pay taxes, registered as corporate taxpayers in Ghana. Now, do you think we can use this to develop Ghana? It's not possible. This clearly shows that there are a lot of tax evasion in the system, and government must find ways and means to bring all those people who don't want to pay taxes to pay tax to help in the development of the country. Because those people who don't pay tax also enjoy the social good that are scattered all around. Government is constructing roads, government is doing street lights, and those people who are not paying taxes also drive on the roads. They don't pay taxes. They also enjoy the lights. I mean, you see, this is not too good for good citizens of the country. And that's why government want to help those people to come into the tax net so that they also help in the contribution of the development of this country. That's exactly what government is doing. So government's interest is not to hit the citizens hard. Government's interest is to encourage people who don't want to pay tax, who don't feel happy to pay taxes, to also come into tax debt so that these people will contribute their quota to the development of the country. So that confidently now you pay tax, so you have a voice to speak.
Would you agree?
When you think that government is not using the taxes you have paid for the purposes that
would you agree with people who are also saying that the 1.75% is too much.
I mean, that is what people think. And you see, the good news is that our government is a listening government. Our president is a listening president. He accepted what people said. And we said that, okay, we would like to speak to you. I mean, I'm talking about the opposition and the minority caucus in parliament.
Did you engage them? Did you really engage them?
We have engaged them so well. There's nobody in this party.
Why are they being adamant? Why are they being reluctant?
That is when people become so desperate for power. They don't listen to the masses. They don't listen to the people, the population. They listen to their party. The party says that if you don't do that, they won't get power. So let's do it. The citizens say that we have to eat. Help us to develop. The citizens that they want to rule are saying that we need rules. So help us to get rules. Their party say that don't mind the citizens.
Hmm.
Their party say that they are not correct. Don't mind them. They say they don't want rules. We want power. So you, MP, this is what the party is saying. So follow what we, the party, what we are saying, not what the citizens are saying. That's what the NDC is doing. So the NDC, instead of listening to the masses, instead of pleasing the masses, instead of dancing to the tune of the masses, that they are now dancing to the tune of the party. The party that is desperate for power. The party that thinks that only political power can make them relevant. That's what they are doing.
Do you think they are taking advantage of the current situation in parliament, the hung parliament?
It is false. It's not, this parliament is not hung parliament.
You have 137 MPs. They have 137 MPs.
Who told you?
An independent
parliament.
An independent MP decided to do business with your side.
Listen to me. Mm. In parliament, we don't deal with political parties in parliament.
Oh, I see.
We deal with caucuses.
Mm.
So please don't say that again.
Okay.
Our parliament is not a hung parliament.
How many MPs do you have?
We have 275 MPs.
Right.
275 MPs.
Mm.
Out of that, 138 are for the majority caucus.
Okay.
So there's a majority. So how come the hung parliament? It can be. I am telling you for a fact that there are two caucuses in parliament.
Okay.
Majority and minority caucus.
Mm.
We don't have political parties.
But the Speaker of Parliament explained the majority group and minority.
He was being mischievous. Clearly, I'm telling you. Because how can you say that? You have been a member of parliament for a very long time.
Mm.
You understand the institution of parliament. How can you say that? Because of political power. Because you guys want to capture political power at all costs. So let's throw lies into the system.
Mm.
He was not being truthful to Ghanaians. I'm telling you. That's the truth.
On the issue of e-levy, so I kindly give you some few minutes. I'll wrap up properly. You know, I think that we need to straighten some few things. On the issue of e-levy, you have accused, and if I say you have accused the majority side, you have accused the Speaker of Parliament of being mischievous. You've said it here once again. How is it being mischievous?
I mean, in what you said, I'm just referring to what you said.
Mm.
I mean, what you claim he said.
Right.
I mean,
that we have majority group and minority group.
What the real group? In the group, in Parliament, we work with caucuses.
Right.
We don't work with groups.
Very well.
So we work with majority and minority caucuses.
Very well.
There's not like a majority group. What's that? Where's that palace coming from?
Mm.
It is not parliamentary. It is not written in the standing orders of the House. We have caucuses. Majority and minority caucus. So you cannot be in the middle. You either join the majority or the minority.
Is the attitude of the minority in parliament frustrating government business?
Ah, God. The truth of the matter is that it is for us, we think that they are not being helpful.
Hmm.
They are not trying to help us develop the country.
Okay.
To work well. I mean, government need to work well. And they are bound, they have just determined to frustrate government and to create problems for government. That's what they are doing.
Is that getting to government? Is that really something that's affecting, you know, day-to-day running of a country?
For us, somehow, you know what is happening now. I mean, this e-levy has not been passed.
Yes.
We have one MP who's not in the jurisdiction for the majority.
Mm.
But if the minority had accepted our view, if the minority had believed in what we're bringing and decided to go with us, it would have been easy for us to pass this levy so that we can move on and run government business so well.
Is the government ready to listen to people who are asking for the 1.75% to be reduced to maybe 1.5%.
Yeah, government is prepared to do that. I mean, government is prepared to listen. That's why we are doing this sensitization tour that we are doing.
We are doing one internally on Thursday.
I mean, we are trying to engage the people, to explain to them, for the citizens to understand the concept of the levy. So when they get to understand it, I mean, paying it will be very easy.
Did you hear what the Western Regional Minister said, Kobe? Kobe said that if you don't earn up to 70 cedis a year, that is when you are considered as poor. Mm. How true
is
that?
That is not written down in the book for me to justify whether it is true or not.
Is that a position of government?
My point is that somebody said it. It's not written in our manifesto. The party hasn't sanctioned that statement. It is a statement that somebody who is a member of government made. By himself, he did it. It is not a position of government. He didn't say that. When
he's a minister. He was talking on government platform.
But when he said that, he didn't say government. No, he didn't say that was a position of government. No, he made a statement, and that statement was made by a minister. That was not made by the government, and he was not at that time. I mean, speaking on behalf of government at that time.
I think that you have justified that nicely. I was about to ask of that of the communications minister who said, if you're able to send 100 Ghana cedis and more, it means that you're rich in this country. It looks like that is running
government officials. You can try to commission an investigation or a survey in the system, even in your office here.
Right.
Check. You can check and give me feedback later. How many people in this office send more money more than 50 cedis a day? Check and see. A lot of Ghanaians, I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
A lot of Ghanaians, they don't do that. They don't send more than 50 Ghana cedis. So all those people will be exempted from the payment of the taxes. What is even more? What is more? You can also decide that if you want to send 200 straight, you can decide to go to spend it for 2 days. You send 100 today and send 100 tomorrow. You will still be exempted from the payment of the tax. This is not a compulsory tax. It's not a tax that we are pushing you to pay at all costs. You will only pay the tax when you decide to undertake that transaction.
Very simple. Once you go beyond a certain threshold, then you should be ready, to pay the levy. That is my brother. Honorable Bessie is my brother. Those of you who don't know. wrapping up, what would you tell the good people of New Jersey South constituency? I believe that you're watching.
I mean, we are still on course. As I said, Aluta Continua, Victoria Seta. We are on course. We believe that victory is certain. New Jersey South is not going back.
Mm.
We are going forward. We are moving forward, and that is what we are doing now. You know, we have started serious projects in town. Very soon we'll start commissioning them. You see that a lot is happening in Kufuria. Mm. And I can assure the people of Kufuria that the roads minister has assured us that our project is about starting.
Right.
And I mean, so Kufuria, very soon you see asphalt again. You see very good development in the area of roads. And we are working so hard on the street light. You know, excellently, we have done well now. Whole Kufuria shining in the evenings, you see. I mean, we are working on developing the capacity of people who are uneducated. I mean, those so that they can also get a vocation for themselves.
Right.
And giving them, things to work with. I mean, I'm talking about giving them machines and dryers to sewing machines and dryers to work with. Those who also need them. We are still in the business of giving out small loans. I mean, for the MPs, giving out small loans to traders.
Mm.
We are doing it. We are on course. We are paying a lot of school fees. We are helping people. We are giving out scholarships.
Right.
And these are things that we are doing to help Kufuria. So the new Kufuria project, people will see Kufuria that we want to see. That's what we are doing.
That's
so the mission is on course, and we are not relenting on our effort at all.
Right. Very well. I would only make a plea. If it's been a long time I've been to Kufuria anyway. I don't know if the Nyami Chrome Road has been...
We are on course. As a matter of fact, the bridge is almost done.
Mm.
So, latest by the end of this week, the stone bridge with the timbers will be completed.
Okay.
But the Canada has given us 3 months to finish the main bridge and the road too.
good news, to people of Koforidua, especially the people who are living at Nyamikro, including my families, our families, because Honorable definitely wherever he's in Koforidua, he goes to the house. So, of course, thank you so much for coming. I'm so grateful for your time. The issues dealt with succinctly, and I'm very much grateful. This is our time, our last on the program. Make time with us, same time tomorrow. My name is Justice Appiah, and the show has been Hot News. Goodbye. Thank you.
Trasaco Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Trasaco Springs, a premium master planned community of service plots surrounded by an exhaustive list of amenities. The gated community of Tema to Accra Motorway presents you the finest opportunity to own a land that suits your preferred size, budget and payment terms. Trasaco Springs is open to you for development. Our on-site sales executives are ready. Call on 055-659-2658.
Got the money for that list of expensive building materials you sent to you.
The price of the iron rod, how many?
It's too much, aren't it?
But now, relax. Look, that's not why I even called. I just visited IPCC, where the engineers told me everything about Trasaco fast law.
Trasaco, please, those people are expensive.
Are they not the people building those big houses in town?
I bet those guys are nice.
But in fact, I used to think the same of until I visited their office today and they gave me an estimate of how much it will cost.
Jomo, the estimate is real. It's cheaper than the one I even sent you.
Wow.
Building contractors, foremen, masons, visit IPCP, the Trasaco Fast Floor. Engineers will assist you build an affordable, faster and stronger building.
Oh,
madam. It is done.
Wow.
Trasaco Fast Floor. Stronger, faster, and affordable.
This is a Trasaco construction product.
It's Tuesday, 8th February 2022. Good afternoon and welcome to Pan-African Television News. My name is Ivy Abinadide Nakite. We are live across 46 African countries and some part of Europe. We are live on Facebook at the moment at Pan-African Television. And let's take a look at our headlines. UTAC strike, coalition of concerned university students scheduled demonstration postponed due to police directives. Also coming up, E-Levy civil society groups join the National Democratic Congress for Yintua demonstration come Saturday, February 2022. So coming up in this afternoon's bulletin, Operation Clean Your Frontage will take a look at the current situation at Circle 6 days after the exercise. We have details of these stories and many more coming up in the next 1 hour. Do stay with us. Thank you for staying. If you just tuned in, this is Pan-African Television News. Anchoring is me, Ivy Abinadide Nakite. Now let's move straight to our news in detail. Now, the Coalition of Concerned University Students of Ghana has called on all university students to join the Massabet University of Ghana Stadium near Okonglo today as they march to the Jubilee and Parliament House to present their concerns to government. Now this come back on the ongoing UTAC strike that has left all university students in various public universities hopeless as their future looks gloomy.
The coalition of concerned university students is the amalgamation of all student movements and activism groups across all university campuses in Ghana. The coalition keenly seeks to address pertinent issues of ordinary Ghanaian university students, both home and abroad. As a national student leader, I believe in the caucus, and I believe that student activism over the years have greatly increased the democratic history and political beauty of Ghana democratization. Since 1992, it has been static, and some remarkable strides have been made in improving the nation's democratic quality through student activism. My fellow university students watching me here, with other conveners here with me, I speak on behalf of your interest. Maybe you wouldn't gather the momentum to stand before the huge media and expel your grievances to the government that has been so insensitive to the plight of our lecturers. Our lecturers have laid down their tools and apparatus and embarked on an indefinite strike. UTAG on Monday, 10th January 2022, officially embarked on this indefinite strike, and it's been several days and we've been in the fifth week, yet still, these lecturers have decided not to return to the classrooms. We believe that government shouldn't use the National Labour Commission as a bully referee to sabotage our lecturers. We've all realized that the ruling government has been so insensitive about this situation. And there is an Akan adage that says that when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. Mi elephanti ni ba ikomi kuma wakende osnebi sawakwa oyefu nobre. We want to tell both UTAC and government that students are suffering. Medical students are suffering. Business administration students are suffering. Nursing students are suffering. International students are suffering. Agriculture students are suffering. IT students are suffering. And even the psychology students that are to place us in a stable mentality are even suffering. Good people of the media, it is unfair to us as university students to pay exorbitant fees and hostel fees at this early stage of the academic calendar, and just to see our lecturers embark on such an insensitive and indefinite industrial strike. Already we all believe that COVID-19 has been an albatross stiffened on our neck as intellectuals, and wouldn't stand a chance to see our lecturers cause a much more harm to this situation due to the insensitive nature of this government. We want to motivate our fellow university students, both home and abroad, to speak across the country. We shall hold a peaceful demonstration going tomorrow, and I urge each and everyone here to believe in this vision that caucus, as the coalition of all these concerned university students, would converge at the University of Ghana campus in front of the stadium or Ponglo, and we shall depart at 9 a.m. As I speak, I can boldly tell you that we have the approval of the regional command of the Ghana Police Service. So my fellow university students watching me, don't be demotivated by the naysayers. Don't be demotivated by so-called political students that are puppets to their godfathers. Remember that in the school your parents go for loans, they struggled hard to pay your fees. Be motivated. Join the coalition. Let us just express our grievances to our leaders of this country. Let us humbly tell them that this is our petition and suggest the solutions to solve this matter for a long term, instead of still dwelling on the short term of this UTAC brouhaha. I would want to end this short and brief message to the media that imagining being a young university student coming all the way from Balikatanga and staying on University of Ghana campus for 5 weeks. I'm not an economic expert. I'm a medical personnel. I can tell you with all due fact that the psychological stability of these students are at stake. Equally, the economic stability of the students are at stake. So we rally you all that it is now or never. Enough is enough, and tomorrow we hit the streets of Accra. I promise you that students all across this country, and I know that we shall provide about 4,000 students on the streets of Accra tomorrow, and join forces with the coalition to present our petition to the presidency and that of the Parliament House.
Now, we are trying as much as possible to get in touch with the convener of the Coalition of Concerned University Students of Ghana, George Kofi Aboah, to give us the very latest. But away from that, some first-year students of the University of Ghana, Legon, have expressed their concerns over the ongoing strike action by UTAG, Association of Ghana, UTAG. Now, according to them, they feel disappointed about the situation and are pleading with government to put measures in place to enable them begin their academic work.
The UTAG strike, which began on the 10th of January, is still ongoing. It's been 21 days of no academic activity on the various university campuses, and this means that public universities across the country are likely to be closed down if the strike action continues. But what is the impact on the students? We are yet to find out. And we are here at the University of Ghana, and we were speaking to some students to find out from them how this is really affecting them.
Yes, the situation has been bad. I'm actually a fresher, and we came to school like 3 weeks ago. But immediately we came, we just heard that the lecturers decided to go on strike, and it's been bad. It's been disturbing. We just hope that the government does something about it, because we've just been on campus, there's nothing to do, no activities, and we are just in our rooms, so we are just pleading to the government to just come to our aid and do something about it.
So the strike has really caused a lot of turbulence, because for instance, like, I'm not from Accra, I come from the Savannah region, and I know I have a lot of other people who are not also from this region. Considering that some people have to go back home, and some people too are still waiting because the government and UTAG are still saying they might shut the school down or they might come back to school. So others have gone home already, and others are also still waiting for whether the school will go on or have to go home. It's really a big thing. Like, we've waited for so long, and now that we are here, like, we are excited to begin a whole new life experience, and then the strike has really come to be, like, it's now a hindrance. We don't know what's going on, and we are just hoping for the best. And well, yeah, like, everybody, we don't know what's happening now, so, like, definitely you will also have to go home if, like, nothing good is coming up. Yeah, everybody's worried. Yeah, we feed on ourselves, so we feed by ourselves, and yeah, that's it.
I think it's really affecting us as students, and also we are running out of time actually, and classes have to begin and all, but it looks like the teachers are delaying, and it's due to the refusal of the government to pay them and stuff. So I think the government should put measures in place to meet the needs of the teachers, so that in no time they can come back and lectures resume or continue.
So as you can see, the ongoing strike action is currently affecting students greatly, and they are calling on the government to do something about the situation as soon as possible. Reporting for Pan-African News, Ikea Abebu.
Meanwhile, some parents and concerned citizens have expressed worry over the ongoing UTAC strike, which began on January 10, 2022. According to them, government must reach a consensus with UTAC to salvage the situation in order for the awards to resume academic work, since they have paid huge sums of money in a bid to secure their future.
Trasaco Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Trasaco Springs, a premium master planned community of service plots surrounded by an exhaustive list of amenities. The gated community of Tema to Accra Motorway presents you the finest opportunity to own a land that suits your preferred size, budget and payment terms. Trasaco Springs is open to you for development. Our on-site sales executives are ready. Call on 055-659-2658.
Hello?
Okay,
Tim and why? My wife's constantly sending messages. Hello.
Swimming pool, camping with me now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 0244-133-1111.
You are welcome from that quick breakdown. Now let's go back to our previous story where some parents and concerned citizens have expressed worry over the ongoing University Teachers Association of Ghana strike, which began January 10, 2022. According to them, government must reach a consensus with UTAC to salvage the situation in order for the awards to resume academic work, since they have paid huge sums of money in a bid to secure their future.
The University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAC, has taken an entrenched position not to call off its industrial action, which commenced on January 10, 2022, until their conditions of service are agreed upon. It is an undeniable fact that university lecturers have been making such demands since time immemorial. Factors including a review of their poor conditions of service, coupled with a demand for an increase in their basic and market premiums, which was reduced to $997.84, can be attributed to the long-standing strike, which is negatively affecting public university students across the country.
Now, with about 1,001 problems that the country is faced with, the UTAC strike remains top of the list. It's been a little over 28 days since the University Teachers Association of Ghana embarked on a strike to demand better conditions of service and an increase in their market premiums. A lot of Ghanaians are worried, especially parents who have to foot the bills of their children to remain in school. We are here to speak to some parents and find out how this is affecting them.
Yes, sir. But why are my studies and my teachers for me? Obi ada ye ye wa asase we so a fi teacher ada na nkasa teacher na chere na de asa na wedu bebi a wedu ye mbe yin so mo akogu school o mo nya hwe na nyi so mo ni nam ho sa o ma ye stranded u fra we ya we isi mi hu de me yo it is end of crime se me ba no ombra into na mkwanso e ba kra
The only thing I have to say is that government should sit up with UTAC and then sort out their various differences so that the lecturers could go back to the classroom and teach the students for us. Because they are official leaders and they must be taught, if they must be taught, they must be taught well. So thank you.
Parents of a level 200 students of the University of Professional Studies Accra and a level 100 students of the University of Ghana, Lagos, Madame Theodora Tay, also shared her frustration with the new scheme, saying that both of her children have had to return home as a result of the strike, which may stall their academic progression.
Two, why is the UPS, why is university, Ghana University? So last month, my small boy, level 100, he called me, say they are strike, so he wants to come home. I said, why? They say teachers go strike. I said, oh, why? Because before he wants to go to school, you know, I suffer it. I'm pressing trade. I'm selling small things. I suffer it before I pay the school fees and buying things before you go to the school. So now they say teachers they are strike. I don't understand because of the teachers and strike. Into Mr. Mepa or Ghana. Oh my no, Chao said the internet number teachers, no, I call strike in your pamuch say, on the boy teachers, no, nan your more channel, almost me your mom, and I your man into me brass school back. Now me ban wa be fee, and me crown send me ban a be fee, and me crown pie, so beside I'll see I'm a call strike go. Oh besides the internet will fear some teachers call strike.
Others also called on government to, as a matter of urgency, fix the situation as it has a tendency to disrupt the academic life of the students.
The mechanic said, "Be best a teacher for no. Say, ombet my boy and our parents no. Ombet my child my dear my because and then on be uru ba beko school e iska. Toro ba beko school ena sa ba ko tren school one se be anchi o my dear. Na se a ka obo ni yana aye brigo. Ene best na idumi. First adi amato new basics. Na bi amati mo rumo de ba beko school na brand university. Ese se be sem bedu asa." Kotimi yetimi kira de makora no so daachi na bra me bre ya na se me bre de hwani en so abamfa so amame.
Now you've seen for yourself and you've heard the frustrations and agitations on the faces and in the voices of these parents who've had to go through thick and thin to ensure that their wards or their children get good tertiary education. Their only call and plea is for the government to fix the situation in order for their children to return back to school, because these are children who hold the key to Ghana's future. This is a Machiza Michelin report for Pan African News.
Let's go for a quick break. We'll return with the rest of our stories.
African Center for Capacity Building, AFCAP, organizes the following executive and advanced certificate programs like Executive Certificate in Project Management, Executive Certificate in Human Resource Management, Executive Certificate in Real Estate and Property Management, Executive Certificate in Data and Record Keeping, Executive Certificate in Monitoring and Evaluation, Executive Certificate in Logistics and Transport Management, Executive Certificate in CCTV Monitoring and Installation. AFCAP, where capacity building is our priority. For registration and inquiries, please call 0244-405047, 0242-135523. We have our branches in Accra, Tamale, Kumasi, and Wa. Saturdays and weekdays sessions are available. Admission is still in progress. Enroll now. Join the African professionals. AFCAP, where capacity building is our priority.
You're still watching Pan African Television News. Now, still on our local front, several civil society groups have thrown their support behind the massive Yentia demonstration of the National Democratic Congress scheduled for Thursday, February 10, 2022.
We are not paying today. Yentia Ene, Yentia Echina. We don't want any reduction. It is a no, no, no. Let's welcome Comrade Bernard Mona to speak to us.
Other comrades from other political parties that pledged their support for the Yentia demonstration that will take place on Thursday. We are happy to be part of this mobilization that will put pressure on our government to withdraw completely the issue of pickpocketing of the Ghanaian purse. We don't consider electronic transactions levy a tax. To the view of the Justice for Ghana, we believe that taxes are levied on profits. They are levied on gains on capital. They are levied on interest and other incomes. But taxes are never levied on the working capital of businesses. And it is the duty of our government to ensure that in whatever they do, the well-being of the Ghanaian is taken paramount. But in this instance, in spite of the many taxes that our government is taking from us, they have decided that the little that is in our pocket, they want to take away. It is the reason for which when the NDC called for the Yentia demonstration, we told them that this cannot be an NDC affair. It should be an affair for all Ghanaians. And we have come to learn solidarity. So we want to assure you that we will mobilize in our numbers. We will partner with all those that this will impact. And I'm sure that every Ghanaian will be impacted negatively on. So that we can tell our government that enough is enough. Thank you so much.
Call on the coalition of the concerned university students, George Kofi Abua, to speak on behalf of the coalition. You can come with your team to support you. You can join them.
I know you are surprised seeing the leaders of the coalition of concerned university students here, but I would want to humbly start with a saying by a popular leader by name Martin Nyomola, who said, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Secondly, they came for the capitalists, and I did not speak out because I wasn't a capitalist. Later, they came for the pastors, and I did not speak out because I wasn't a pastor. But now they came for me, and nobody was able to speak for me. Before I start with this brief speech, I want the good people of all university students across the nation to note that it is now or never. And why do I say this? We need to speak up today for a better tomorrow. In this vein, I would want you to understand that there is a lot of impact and bad effect of e-levy on students. So we pledge our support that coming Thursday after tomorrow's demonstration, the coalition of concerned university students throw their support solidly behind all these combined corporate civil societies, that we shall be there in our numbers as intellectuals and support a good cause for a great nation. We are the future leaders, and we speak today that
Selom Dramani Dramado, Unemployed Graduate Network, to also speak to us.
A note of caution to the Akufo-Addo administration, that given the level of anger that is welling up in the youth of this country, they should you know, attach some importance to the mandate we have given them. I am not going to say that much. Thursday is where we have the platform to, you know, exude whatever is welling up in us. On that note, I would like to thank you all for giving us this coverage. I would, you know, ask you to, you know, come in your numbers to join us, even you, the media. This time around, you are suffering. Quietly, you call me, challenge Ramani, the moment thing they will not go grill. You to join us. Just put your micro, you know, bring your microphone and also let's turn it on you like pata. Then you say, oh, challenge, I think know the view. We no go grill. Challenge, thank you very much. Thursday, Okada ride a beer. Thursday. Yeah, yeah, delivery more beer. What about what they do? I don't know, for Okada and Koto. Wa oba wa dede anino fa oka na kwakoto teze moto ride bi ani wonu mu a ye be ye ejuma kwesi se ye ni na na akufu ado beka amana dia se se sika ni ye nibi ye ntia enye si ye ntia ye nibi ejuma nkoso na dia na ebe ye dia twa tax enti ye sene na akufu ado se tax no ye ntia ne ye ntia ochina medam ase.
Some traders around the Kwame Nkrumah Circle interchange have disclosed that sanitation in the locality has improved after the Operation Clean Your Front Aid exercise was conducted. Now, according to them, the exercise has affected business activities in the area.
Operation Clean Your Front Aid exercise, which commenced on February 1, 2022, was conducted to ensure that individuals and businesses tidy their immediate surroundings during the exercise. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Henry Kotte, visited the Kwame Nkrumah Circle with a task force to get traders who sell at unauthorized locations, such as the pavements, to relocate. A visit to the area by Pan-African News team 6 days after the exercise has revealed that the directive is being strictly adhered to. Meanwhile, some traders have stated that even though the exercise has improved sanitation and vehicular movement, trading activity in the area has been hugely affected.
By a father, I hire near Tadiano. Someone on walk on. No more Tadia, my by the Siano Mudomoko in Echo Green side. No, it's also a dear and other brand Saniato. By my house, what's it? I'm a hat, I'm a hat. By as I hire him, as I hire him. Oh, I had no AM for trying to take it in. See, I don't know more plapla. I'm my. Kani move ma yani so yani ni parose yesu nya baabi efa first no ko na mo a no obi ni ho apem na no ma kura ye ahwiegu ezi si ano mo ye no ama ye nya baabi fa ma ye ho toye nto ma ya ade
me se ade aba na ye na ke yema yina na so ase yi mu wom o ene me ko do right side no ene pe ni bo wa mo ton de e so yani ase de ye tu ni pe ni bi ho o ja se. I want to make mention here. Anything that be more active, maybe also 20. What I say? I've also wanted Muslim more young criminal, criminal more young. I think I have months now. You say, I might be also one. A general criminal. And I met my boy, and I say, what's the Utu of Vina still, and we are so good. Oh, Gromodia. I say, oh, for some also. The second banner says, months in order by the buyers, and might be a first week, you know. I'll say, the whole Ghana, a year, just a criminal. No one but why? Since I go to be say, why I have feelings now, still no, now, if you're not saying it, oh, and I feel so no, have you school? I'll find a boy, I don't know if you're a man or a woman, and I'm a baby. I'll take a banish, I can say, okay, if you are not, your own needs mean to what I say. And I'm bad one, and no one said there. We will go to be now there,
They are therefore calling on authorities to create enough spaces for them to enable them ply their trade.
So that's all on our local front. Coming up next is business.
Trasaco Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Trasaco Springs, a premium master planned community of service plots surrounded by an exhaustive list of amenities. The gated community off Tema to Accra Motorway presents you the finest opportunity to own a land that suits your preferred size, budget and payment terms. Trasaco Springs is open to you for development. Our on-site sales executives are ready. Call on 055-659-2658.
Business. The Western Regional Minister Kwabena Otre Da Kumensa has said no poor person will be affected by the electronic transactions levy bill. He explained that this is as a result of the 100 Ghana cedis exemption. Now, according to him, a person said to be poor in the country is someone who raises only 70 Ghana cedis within a year.
The other issue will be up in the day. And the 11 year Ghana for one better one. Ghana for one better one, Ghana for better one. Mammy, minimini day. Demi ilevi, a yafu won't chibi. A yeni biara niwa, obichibi. And this is the analysis I make. Ghana, so what could be a ya, puso, a yobia in the whole year, Sikabed Nisima or 70 Ghana cities. Ilevi say a betray, say 300 Ghana cities are a transfer now, the Missicano. Ntia 11 bodo ntia fenda ye tiche nya age 2400 and obi ewa ami age 1800 and our policeman age 1600 dem me pay na ban otua ma no say every day be yin mu 100 Ghana cedis na transfer dem levy entry bi because 100 Ghana for 30 days or 3000 ntia dem levy a ohiafo ntia bi de obi le tum beka chem de onya de papa de ye nya ye nim to whom much is given much is expected.
Also, Chief Policy Analyst at the Ghana Institute of Public Policy Options, Dr. Charles Wakumbobe, believes government will be on course in moderating the rocketing price of fuel should it leverage on the country's windfall profit from oil revenue. Now, according to him, the global factors affecting Brent crude oil prices will always be unfavorable. Hence, applying the windfall profit is Ghana's best option to cushion fuel consumers.
Prices of fuel have gone up at the pumps across the country because the price stabilization and energy recovery levy, which is a key component of the fuel price build-up, has been restored by the National Petroleum Authority after it was suspended for about 3 months. The levy was suspended last year as a means of reducing the burden on consumers. In an interview, the former chief executive officer for the Volta River Authority, Charles Wakumbobe, demanded action from the government to lessen the impact of the high cost of fuel on Ghanaians. The Chamber of Petroleum Consumer Ghana, COPEC, has asked the government to adopt measures aimed at cushioning Ghanaians against the hike in petroleum prices. COPEC is also predicting that the price per liter of the product will hit 8 Ghana cedis by March 2022. Executive Secretary of COPEC, Duncan Amuad, lamented that government is doing too little to bring down the prices of fuel and must immediately devise means to address the incessant hike. Already, COPEC has called for the withdrawal of the levy and has now urged the government to adopt the dual pricing model to stabilize fuel prices and accompanying economic difficulties.
International news is next. On an international front, Israel attempts to improve its public image to counter efforts by human rights organizations that reveal the nature of Israeli apartheid. Now, on January 27, 2022, the Hebrew language news site Walla published part of the text from telegram sent by Amir Weisbord, which is part of Israeli Foreign Ministry, to Israeli embassies around the world.
The telegram warned the Israeli diplomat that in the upcoming 49th regular session of the United Nations Human Rights Council, which is expected to begin on February 28, a report to be tabled regarding Israel's 2021 bombing of Gaza. This report will apparently use the word apartheid to refer to Israel's occupation of the Palestinians, according to the telegram. Weisbord relayed Tel Aviv's instructions regarding the report prepared by UNHRC-appointed committee to the Israeli diplomat through this telegram. The main goal for Israel is to delegitimize the committee, its members and product, and to prevent or delay further decisions. After a four-year investigation, on February 1, 2022, Amnesty International released a 280-page report with a sharp headline, Israel's Apartheid Against Palestinians. Amnesty concluded that Israel has perpetrated the international wrong of apartheid as a human rights violation and a violation of public international law, wherever it imposes this system. It has asserted that almost all of Israel's civilian administration and military authorities, as well as governmental and quasi-governmental institutions, are involved in the enforcement of the system of apartheid against Palestinians across Israel and the occupied Palestinian territory, and against Palestinian refugees and their descendants outside the territory. Amnesty further said that this act amounts to the crime against humanity of apartheid, and that both the Apartheid Convention and the Rome Statute. Israel's Foreign Minister Yair Lapid retaliated by accusing Amnesty of quoting lies shared by terrorist organizations. As if on cue, Israel's government accused Amnesty of anti-Semitism. The Amnesty report to provide key material for the UNHRC investigation. One of the immediate issues that will be the focus of attention for the UNHRC session is Israel's Operation Guardian of the Walls against the Palestinians in Gaza in May 2021. According to a July 2021 report by Human Rights Watch, which looked at three Israeli strikes that were part of the operation that killed 62 Palestinians, there were no evident military targets in the vicinity. In its report, HRW used the term war crimes to describe attacks by Israeli forces and Palestinian armed groups. When the firing stopped after 11 days, the UNHRC passed a resolution in late May 2021 to establish an ongoing independent international commission of inquiry to investigate various crimes in the OPT, including East Jerusalem and in Israel. Nafi Pillay, the former UN High Commissioner for Human Rights and a former South African judge, was appointed to chair the three-person commission, which also included Mulun Kotari, an Indian architect, and Chris Sidoti, an Australian human rights lawyer. The commission is expected to present its first report to the UNHRC in June. The commission chaired by Pillay is the ninth commission established by the UNHRC to investigate Israeli actions against the Palestinians. It has a very broad mandate that includes to study violations of international humanitarian law according to the four Geneva Conventions in 1949, which both Israel and Palestine are party to, and to continue to investigate these crimes into the future. It is widely expected that Pillay's report will use the word apartheid to define Israeli policy in the OPT. This will not be the first time that a United Nations report has used this term to define Israeli actions against the Palestinians. In 2017, the UN Economic and Social Commission for Western Asia released a report prepared by Richard Falk, a former United Nations Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories occupied since 1967, and Virginia Tilley, a researcher and professor of political science at Southern Illinois University. The report defined Israeli policy against Palestinians as apartheid, as understood under international law. In its 2014 report, Falk had already used the term apartheid. The release of that 2017 report led to the resignation of ESCWA head Rima Khalaf, a distinguished Jordanian diplomat, after she faced pressure from the United Nations Secretary General to withdraw the report. In 2006, the Israeli government set up a Ministry of Strategic Affairs to essentially run two campaigns, one against Iran and the other against the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. The Hasbara, explaining almost physically propaganda ministry, operated an information war that sought to delegitimize DBS activists and to paint anyone who supported the movement as an anti-Semite. Largely due to criticisms of its heavy-handedness, the Ministry of Strategic Affairs was shut down in July 2021 and some of its functions were shifted to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Ami Weshbro's telegram from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is essentially Hasbara 2.0. On January 23, 2022, the Israeli government set up a new project, Concert Inside the Foreign Ministry. This well-funded project will carry forward the mission of Solomon Sling, a public benefit corporation but controlled by government representatives, to banish Israel's image around the world, particularly in the West. Concert will be the means through which the Israeli government plans to transfer millions of dollars to non-government organizations and media houses to ensure that the reporting about Israel is positive. The legitimization of any characters of Israel is part of the agenda this project aims to achieve. The telegram sent by Weshbrod is a part and parcel of Hasbara 2.0. Weshbrod is an experienced hand, having served Israel at the United Nations in New York and as an ambassador in Jordan, besides working in various ministries in Tel Aviv. In 2011, he told Haaretz that the diplomats from most countries understand Israel's position relating to the Palestinian Authority behind closed doors, but they are not willing to state publicly what they readily say in their private meeting with Israeli representatives, which is often infuriating. What such duplicity reveals is that these foreign representatives who agree with Israel behind closed doors recognize that public opinion in their countries is against Israeli policy, but these representatives know that they must not annoy the Israelis or the U.S. diplomat who would otherwise make life difficult for their countries. A senior Indian diplomat told me plainly that India normalized relations with Israel in 1992 because the United States told New Delhi that the road to Washington had to go through Tel Aviv. Israel recognizes that few of the countries in the UNHRC will vote against the report that is expected to brand it as an apartheid state. It will try to do two things to prevent the report from coming out. Delegitimize the commissioners, notably Pillay, and ask the United States to, in March 2021, Fatal Bensouda, the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, confirmed that his office had opened an investigation relating to Rome Statute crimes by Israel against the Palestinians. There are effectively four Rome Statute crimes: crime of genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crime of aggression. Each of these crimes is horrendous. What Israel fears is that a negative report in the UNHRC might provide evidence for the ICC investigation. On January 3, 2022, Israel's Foreign Minister Yair Lapid told Israeli journalists that his government fears that this year a set of international institutions will try to portray Israel as an apartheid state. These institutions include the UNHRC, the ICC, the International Court of Justice, and the Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. In the press conference, Lapid called the characterization of Israel as an apartheid state a despicable lie. 2 years ago, in June 2022, however, one of Israel's most respected human rights organizations, Yasdin, published a report with a startling conclusion. It is a difficult statement to make, but the conclusion of this opinion is that the crime against humanity of apartheid is being committed in the West Bank. The perpetrators are Israelis and the victims are Palestinians. Such statements are anathema to Lapid and Wedgeboard, but according to Israeli human rights groups and Palestinian human rights groups, as well as Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, are a reflection of the fact witnessed on the ground, and no amount of Hasbara 2.0 can erase these facts. Use its membership on the UNHRC to delay the release of the report.
Credit goes to our international partners, the People's Dispatch. Coming up next is sports. Elmina Sharks FC defied the odds when they beat Asante Kotoko at the Indium Sports Complex in the Ghana Premier League yesterday. Now, they came from a goal down to end the morale-boosting victory and also ended their nine-match winless streak.
Sharks gaffer Kobina Emi Sahanda debuts to new additions Prince Adediakpodo and Yusif Alhassan Chipsa as they replaced Kingsley Ajay and Enoch Agbelenyo respectively. Dr. Prosper Nateogum maintained an unchanged starting lineup for the action-packed fixture. Kotoko opened the scoring of the match in the 39th minute when Dixon Afuakwa tapped in a pass from Cameroonian import Georges Mfugu after an excellent effort. The lead lasted for just 3 minutes as Ebenezer Edu Kwabwedi headed home across in the 42nd minute to level for the Botchikumba. Justice Blay, who joined the club from Mediama, was introduced in the second half as a replacement for Mudasiru Salifu. Sharks got themselves in the lead in 8 minutes into the second half after Alhaji Mustafa converted a penalty following a retaking. His first kick was saved by goalkeeper Danlad Ibrahim, but he had come over the line to make the save. The Porcupine Warriors came very close to restoring parity, but Ismail Abdul Ganiyu's powerful shot from the edge of the box was brilliantly saved by Sharks goalie Joseph Sam in the 73rd minute. Kotoko had the opportunity to draw level in the additional minutes after getting a penalty. Cameroonian forward Frank Thierry Mbella Etuga stepped up for the spot kick, but his attempt was saved. Kotoko finished the game with 10 men as left-back Ibrahim Imoro was sent off for dissent. The defeat is Kotoko's first since December 5, 2021, when they lost to King Faisal.
Well, we take you to the world of entertainment after the short break. The Ohafia War Dance, also known as Ikuritiri Ogu in the Igbo land, is a popular act performed in several parts of Eastern Nigeria by masculine men in commemoration of their strength in fighting and winning wars. Now, I determine this details the history of Ohafia War Dance.
According to oral history, the ancestors of Ohafia were renowned to be mighty men of war who were always on the lookout for battles to take part in. The Ohafia warrior tradition, which remains one of the fundamental identities of a people, is hinged on the performance of Ikiripi Ogu, the practice of beheading a fallen enemy,
A human skull is a proof of a man's courage and strength. Only those who brought home a human head could join the Ogbu Isi society and wear an eagle's plume, which is a symbol of courage. Only men are permitted to perform the dance and beat the drums. The Ohafia tribe of Abia State were renowned fighters in ancient warfare. The dance reminiscent of celebrations after a successful battle as a victory dance to honor warriors of the tribe. The Ohafia war dance is performed to honor an individual's accomplishment. The lead dancer carries a basket full of human skulls called Oyaya, at the same time holding a short cutlass and puts a small palm shoot in his mouth. The Oyaya displays how many skulls the warriors were able to collect due to their skillfulness and bravery. The other dancers, clad like deadly warriors, mime the cutting of a human head as they dance to the music played with an akwatankwa musical instrument. This act depicts the bravery of the Ohafia men. The Ohafia war dance celebrates the cultural heritage of the Ohafia people. It also serves as a glimpse into centuries ago when winning an intertribal war meant a great deal to the winning tribe, he said. From a usual war event, this process has turned into a performance that showcases the might and prowess of Ohafia people. The traditional Ohafia dance, with a mimicked beheading of their enemies, has already become a popular Igbo cultural dance rather than an everyday warrior's routine. Those who visit Igbo land stand a chance of seeing this dance performed at events.
Well, that's how we draw curtains on this afternoon's Pan-African Television News. Before we go, a recap of our headlines. UTAC strike, coalition of concerned university students scheduled demonstration postponed due to police directive. Now, civil society groups join the National Democratic Congress for Yen Tia demonstration comes Thursday, February 10, 2022. We also took you to Circle to look at the current situation 6 days after the Operation Clean Your Frontage exercise. That's all for this afternoon's bulletin. Do join us this evening, 6:30 p.m. on Newsbreak for more news updates. You can as well follow us on all social media platforms, on Facebook as Pan-African Television, on Instagram at Pan-African Television, and on Twitter at Pan-African Television. My name, Ivy Abnandi Denakite. The Youth Empowerment Show is next. Don't go anywhere.